D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick here with you on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Derek Mason, Willie Donick here with you. We are live from Bridgestone Arena today in the Jack Daniels Barrel House just outside Section 111. Predators and Blackhawks doing battle tonight in the first game back from the Olympic break. And a very special shout-out. I can't believe I forgot to mention this in the top of the first hour, but congratulations to our friend, the voice of the Nashville Predators, who you can hear later tonight with Puck Drop at 7 p.m., Pete Weber, for being inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame.
Congrats, Pete.
Way to go, Pete.
Petey, we love you. We give you our congratulations.
We kept the secret this morning at the morning's game. We didn't tell him. He said, hey, I'm going over to the Omni to get on Chase and Big Joe's show. I was like,
Did he cry? Did he tear up?
Well, I don't know. I missed it. I'm sure he probably teared up.
Oh,
I'm sure he got
it. Did the spirit of David Baker show up? That's the football one, but regardless.
That is the football. Now, that's a big man right there. Dave Baker used to be
the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you're thinking of, right? He was the Hall of Fame guy. Before that, he was the commissioner of the Arena League back in the back when the Arena League had some clout. Like when Pat Sperduto was the coach, the Nashville Catch, it was a spring league. They made some mistakes, I think, to take it where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had a chance to meet Dave Baker in person. That's a big dude right there. That is a big dude. I also had a chance to be part of the surprise when they surprised Terry Crisp and put him a few years ago into the Hall of Fame. So great job, Brad Willis, good friend of mine. He heads up the Hall of Fame. They do a good job of keeping it under wraps and then springing it on him. So congratulations to Pete right alongside of Terry in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame and Derek Mason.
There we go.
We got Hall of Famers all around us.
I'm just surrounded by legends today. It's unbelievable. Speaking of legends, let's welcome in our next guest, OutKick's very own Jonathan Hutton, to the program. Jonathan, how's it going?
Legendary because I have witnessed David Baker walk into a room, much like Billy. It is something to behold, trust me.
I can imagine. So, Jonathan, obviously, the news of the day, Tavondre Sweat traded to the New York Jets for Jermaine Johnson. Your initial thoughts on the move, do you like it, do you hate it? What speaks to you?
Yeah, I mean, I like it. Mainly because it gets a position of need to the Titans that for a position and a player that they weren't going to have fit into their defensive front. That was the whole concern about Tavondre Sweat was, does this defense call for a nose tackle? Because that's exactly what he is. And I think it also shows Mike Borgonzi and Robert Saleh working together in a great way on this particular front to get a player that had his best year with Saleh from New York, albeit coming off of an Achilles injury, not last year, but the year prior. And Borgonzi, I'm sure, fills Robert Saleh in on the fact that this is a guy that's probably not going to convert down to a 30-pound defensive tackle. He's going to probably be and remain a nose tackle. So, yeah, I think it's good for Tavondre Sweat, too, by the way. It's not just good for the Titans. I think the Jets end up getting a pretty good player for what they're going to ask him to do.
With the addition of Jermaine Johnson, obviously he's an edge rusher, a position of need for the Titans. What do you think that signals for Femi Oladejo? I think this was a year that, maybe not a prove-it year, but a year where we need to see some building blocks, we need to see some momentum in the right direction. What do you think the mindset and the message surrounding him should be?
Well, the mindset for him needs to come in and be versatile and time to turn up the gas a little bit. You know, like it's time to go. Mindset for the Titans should be come one, come all, because the depth of that position isn't great and it still isn't great despite bringing in Jermaine Johnson because, again, the Achilles injury, he had just 3 sacks last year. He did finish the season. So it's not like he's hurt now, but he has been. He's been coming off of that injury. So, they don't I think it's on both sides of things. They need to develop talent. And Oladejo is one of those players that they drafted to develop. And now it's Robert Saleh's staff that's going to be doing that. And, again, versatility is the name of the game with him because they're already, like, looking at guys like Arvel Reese and others. Mm-hmm. Oladejo is going to have to be forefront of the development.
Now, Hutt, do you think it's a far gone conclusion that L'Jarius Sneed will not be in the Titans uniform this upcoming season? Because there hasn't been much talk outside of, I think, TD post something, if I'm not mistaken, with L'Jarius Sneed just rehabbing and working his way back. But there hasn't been anything coming out of the Titans building saying that they're looking to cut him or trade him or whatever. But do you envision him, or can you envision him in this Saleh defense?
Mace, I can't. I can't. Okay. I don't know how much of this plays a factor. I'm sure it would. He's going to be designated as a post June 1st cut whenever that happens. And he's going to have to pass a physical at some point if they wanted to do anything with him right now. So they're going to waive him injured, more or less, is what's going to happen. I don't think he would pass a physical right now if they wanted to trade him. And they're going to cut him whenever he's injured. It's probably going to be post June 1st, whenever that happens. Plus, you know, there's a lot of other things going on behind the scenes there with legally and all that stuff. I'll just say I would be shocked if L'Jarius Sneed is playing within that defense, just based on everything that's gone down and how things have played out.
So even with that, you don't think that because you say you believe he more than likely would be a post June 1 cut.
I think so, based on the savings,
based on the salary and how it would be if they cut him before then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Just based on the. The salary cap savings that you get, however that's designated, I believe it's going to be a post June 1st type move. They can make the move and just designate him as post June 1st.
Okay. Now, speaking of that, Cushenberry, I think that may have come as a surprise to a lot of people. I know it came as a surprise to me.
Yeah.
Especially with Corey Levin not being under contract. Do you think they go to Corey Levin to try to get him to, you know, sign a 2 or 3 year deal? Or do you think they, because I don't think there's centers in this year's draft that you would, you know, move up, say, you know, in the third round to get in this draft. So bringing a guy like Corey Levin back, do you think that's an option?
Man, it surprised me a bit too. But I took this as they're going to make a big swing at center. Who's the center up in Baltimore?
Lindenbaum, but I believe Baltimore's going to try to sign him back with every cent they have.
Titans loved him whenever he was coming out into the draft a few years back. Not that this is the same regime, but the point being, it would have to be that type of level, and you know, maybe they're viewing this Mason going, he just wasn't the same player after he came back from the Achilles tear. Maybe they're viewing that at the same time too. It's a anchor position up front of the line that they have to get fixed. Okay. And they I think you and I are surprised because they created a huge hole.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to
speak
for you.
And they got to replace the right guard.
That's right. And so I immediately thought that, right? But clearly, by making this move now, before the league year even begins, this has been a part of their plan of them moving on. So they're either going through the draft or they're going to go with a big swing type guy to fill in and get going and get moving. Like, is there a Brian Daboll connection somewhere throughout the free agency wire? I mean, that's been the connection with everything else offensively.
Now, what do you think they do with Chigga Conquo? Do you think they, you know, make him a serious offer to come back, or do you think they will allow him to test the market and then make an offer?
I think they'll let him test it and then get involved with that type of whatever game it is that they're playing to try to negotiate with him. They'll play the game with him a bit because I think there are some other tight ends that they can – They feel okay about production wise, scheme wise to bring in. Plus, look, he's going to run a lot of two tight. You know, he'll have two tight ends on there. A lot of 11 personnel, but I think for this offensive line, this quarterback, you know, max protect as much as you can. They want to run the football. They'll have two tight ends on the field, and you know, is a Conquo a part of that? Maybe is, maybe isn't. But I don't think it's a priority, Mace. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think because of that, you let the guys who are, if they're not on your priority list, you let them test it, kind of set the market themselves. And if they get big time money, so be it. If not, we get them back at the level we thought we would have them at, and everybody seems happy after testing.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. Hot mic with Hutton and Withrow. So, Jonathan, does this trade for Johnson have you thinking it's more likely or less likely that they draft an edge guy at number four?
More. I still think more. Because they want one pass rusher that's on one side of the that's like one style, and they want another pass rusher on the other end that's more like another. I don't think it tips their hand one bit, Willie. And I think it's, in terms of value, if they stick at number four, this to me, there's more value at pass rush than any position right now, unless you're going to try to convince me they're going to take a running back right there at number four. But I would still stick pass rush because of the elite of the elite. When you have the chance to go and get someone at that position, at that specific position, that's going to be a pass disruptor, you have to go do that. Look around the league and the top guys who have been drafted. Baseline, the talent ends up being like Derek Morgan, first-round pass rushers. And he was a good player, not a great player. I'd go up high, go top five pass rush and see what damage that guy could do for your defense.
It's an interesting point. If they could load up the defensive line and then have the offensive line continue to take a step forward, if you've got your quarterback, your O-line, and your D-line set by the end of this coming year, I think that's a really good foundation. I think you could probably find the other pieces from there.
Well, and I think that's the way to build if you're giving to Robert Saleh his defense. His defense has always been aggressive up front. You know, like he's always been pin your ears back and get after the QB. He's going to rotate a lot of players too. They rotate a lot of players on the front. So, I don't think this signals one way or the other how much more, how much less they were going to consider pass rush. I still think they're heavily considering making sure that they end up with an elite pass rusher in the first round.
Give me a thought on the Vanderbilt and Tennessee basketball as we sit here, as they come down the home stretch. They're both clearly going to be in the tournament.
Yep.
I could see them with the wrong matchup, both losing in the first game. I could see them with the right matchup, winning a couple games. I don't know how deep either one of them could go. I think it could be very intriguing. And that game on Saturday was a dogfight.
Man, that was a great game, wasn't it? The officials let them play. I don't know how consistent the officiating is going to be in our scenario here. But I love it. I love the game on Saturday. Let me say this. I think Vanderbilt goes deeper just because of the sharp shooting. They've got the guy. They've got a guy they can get the ball to, catch, shoot, and just, you know, swish. Tennessee's got those players, but they don't heat up. It takes them a while to heat up, and that's kind of the trend. I think Vanderbilt can come out swinging and be up by 15 pretty quickly on a random NCAA tournament game day, just by the sharp shooting. And look, it's not often they get held to between 60 and 70 points. I go into a game against Vanderbilt thinking I got to post 80. So I like Vanderbilt because of that. But if we're going to get games the way we saw them against Tennessee, I'm all for it. And look, Tennessee's going to be a hard out. That's how I've described them. And that doesn't mean they have to be eliminated round one. But they're edgy, and they've got a little – they're rough around the edges, though, to make them a little dangerous come tournament time when they get streaky and have a little belief. And one of the main players begins to catch fire and believe in the fact that they're one of the best going.
He's Jonathan Hutton of OutKick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow on every day, wherever you can find it. Hut, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Congratulations to Pete Weber. And, Willie, have a great call.
All right. Thanks, Hut.
Jonathan Hutton.
Got to work the rust off in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, you do.
Hoping for it.
Yeah. Well, it's just like
if the guys come out flying like they did in the Olympic gold medal game, I'm screwed.
It's like spring training. You're going speed, back in. Got to get the bat hot.
If it goes full speed early, I'm going to be like,
just keep your eye on the ball. No hangers outside.
You might be a skate behind.
Right down the middle. Just make a good contact. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Connor Newt, Derek Mason, Willie Donick here with you on DVD. We are live from Bridgestone Arena, just outside Section 111 at the Jack Daniels Barrel House. If you're headed to the game to watch the Predators and the Chicago Blackhawks do battle tonight, come by, see us, say hello. We'd be happy to say hello to you. Coming up next, a big game this weekend for Vanderbilt men's basketball. They are headed to Rupp Arena to take on the Kentucky Wildcats. Let's get some thoughts on that one, boys. Coming up next, right here on DVD on 102.5 The Game.